Suresh has been, I was inspired to hear what the Lord was doing through Suresh and through the church back in the Hyderabad area. I spoke with the elders about having him come and share with us, and we are privileged to have Pastor Suresh Pura with us. Would you come up and let me pray for you, brother? Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we just thank you for this dear brother, and thank you for the work that you are doing in India. Thank you for the church planting, for the missionary efforts, for the evangelistic efforts. Thank you for his pastor's heart. We do pray now that you would speak through Suresh, that our hearts would be prepared as he brings your inerrant, inspired word to us. May we catch a vision for a God who is bigger than what we have had, a bigger vision for what the Church of Jesus Christ actually looks like. And may we in our hearts partner with these brothers and sisters as they come to full maturity in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Would you welcome Pastor Suresh Pura?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for the kind words. And I praise God for every single opportunity that opens up for me to talk about him and talk about ministry in India. I take as a blessing to talk about Christ and talk about the ministry, what God is doing, a place in India. I want to thank you, Pastor, for letting me do that this morning. As you have seen the video, that's what we do, and that's what I am aware from, and to ministry there, to do the ministry there. I'm so blessed to be there and see how God is working in the place and the lives. And I tell many testimonies how God transformed his people, his chosen people, to be his children. And it is thrill to see, and we have a great blessing to serve there, and we are so happy to see there. And as you've seen that, my mission and my prayer is, Colossians chapter 1 verse 28, it is written on my small brochure: we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. In another version says, fully matured in Christ. So my mission is proclaim and present. Proclaim the Christ. Teach them the Bible. Teach them what Bible tells, what God tells, and we may present them to Christ fully matured. That's my prayer. That's my passion. That's my prayer for my people and where I teach. Thank you so much for this morning, for another privilege of sharing God's word to you this morning. Please, if you have a Bible, please go with me to Book of Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. If you have a Bible, please follow me as I read. English is not my first language. I'm not a good English reader. If you find anything mistakes, please excuse me and forgive me. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing better, beloved by God, his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in a word only, but also in a power and in the Holy Spirit and with a full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything, for they themselves report about us that what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serving a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Would you bow with me, please, in a prayer? Father, your word is open to us. Your word is precious. Your word is clear. And your word can change the lives. Thank you, Lord, for doing your work in our ministry with your word. As we gather here, as a brothers and sisters in Christ, to meditate on your word, speak to us, help us to understand, give us a clarity and freedom to speak and talk about you. Father, I pray, glorify yourself in the midst of your people. In your precious name I pray. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, Before I started, I told Pastor Dan, I'm used to, okay? Our service goes 3 hours. And 1 hour is for preaching. Second message. So we have a first message and singing, and we have a second message. Our singing is like a 1 hour. So I don't know, I may go like that, but please bear with me today. No, I'm not going to do that. Book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse, a small and tiny, a little letter written by Apostle Paul. We know that he was a great example. He was a man with a God's, for God's kingdom, to preach the God's word. And when he came to Thessalonica during his second missionary journey, he planted the church. He was there for 3 weeks, and he discussed with the people in community and synagogues from the scripture, from the Old Testament, those who are from Gentile background. He spoke with them. After 3 weeks, the church was formed and started gathering. After 3 weeks, he had to leave the place because there were some problems arose, situations got very bad, and he had to leave the small new congregation behind and move on his missionary journey. After he left, he had a greater concern for this church because he was deeply, deeply concerned for their spiritual condition, because they were so young in their spiritual life. They heard the good news from Paul. They have consecrated their lives to God. They dedicated their service to God. They recognized the word of God was so powerful in their life, and that changed their lives. And when he heard that, they were so young, and you know, he knew that they were so young in their Christian life, and he wanted to write back with this letter. He wanted to send this letter back to them with much joy, expressing his gratitude and thanksgiving for their faithfulness to God. Here I want to say something. He was there only for 3 weeks, but God has done greater things in this place. He was so much to say about that congregation. He was congratulating them for their faithfulness. He was praising God for their commitment and their faithfulness. He was congratulating and praising God, just like he was proclaiming and presenting. And here we see that he was in his First Thessalonians, we see that in every chapter it ends with some glimpse of Christ's second coming. And eventually he explains in chapter 4 how that's going to be and how the things are going to take place. So he was writing with this letter with so much joy, because we see that when Paul writes to other churches in New Testament, when he think about other churches, they were not doing well as the Thessalonians church. Think about some of the churches that he planted. Think about the churches that he was connected to. They were not doing what they're supposed to do. They lost the love of God. They misdirected by many false teachings. We see Galatians chapter 4 verse 10 and 11. "You observe every days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have labored for you in vain." He was concerned for the churches in Galatian reasons. We see that same problems in Corinth. We see problems in Corinth. You know, when he thinks about this church, he was praising God with a joyful heart. But when he thinks about the Corinth church at Corinth, he was nearly dead. I mean, all kind of problems, all kind of issues. They were lost. There are many issues and he had to deal with. It was heartbreaking when they came to when this news came to Paul regarding their attitude, their disobedience, their immaturity, and they're struggling with all kind of sin issues. We see that the same way Christ was speaking to the churches that have been planted, and God was speaking to seven churches in Book of Revelation. And most of them, God was condemning them, asking them to come back and do the things that what they need to do, what they're supposed to, in order to be obedient to God. But there is only one church. Christ did not condemn them, but he commanded them to be more faithful. That is a church at Philadelphia. We see that in the Book of Revelation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 24 to 28, we see how Paul went with all his struggles in his life for planting a churches, strengthening a people. He did not just plant and he did not just plant the church and leave. We see that if you have a Bible, please go with me. I would like you to see that word. Acts chapter 15 verse 36. Acts chapter 15 verse 36. "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim and the word of God, word of the Lord, and see how they are.'" I mean, he did not just preach and leave, but he was looking for every opportunity to see them. How are they doing? How are their spiritual condition? How are they obeying God? How are they behaving themselves in their community? That's what is greater concern. When we see 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 28, this is the greatest concern of Paul for every churches. We see from verse 24 to 28, he explains all the struggles he has gone through, all the persecutions he had to bear with, and he was beaten three times with a rod, and he was in a shipwreck, he was in a deeper problems. But when we come to verse number 28, Paul tells, "Besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Apostle Paul had a great concern for the churches that he planted everywhere God took him. And Paul was grateful for this church, and he has many more things to praise God because of their faithfulness in their lives. When we see book of his letter to Thessalonians, we see, as I said before, every chapter is a glimpse of Christ return and the blessed hope that every Christian is hoping for. So here some of the things he was so much impressed. He was so much blessed to talk about them. Verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul was praising God for their faithfulness. Verse number 2, chapter 2, verse number 1. They have received the word not from the man, but as from God. Chapter 2, verse 14. They were imitators of God, followers of God. Chapter 2, verse number 17. He was also longing to see them, his greater desire to see them again because of their faithfulness and their commitment to God. Chapter 2, verse 19. His hope and joy and his crown of rejoicing. He was saying, "You are my glory and you are my joy." Chapter 3, verse 5. He was concerned for the church because Satan may tempt them. He was cautioning, "Be careful. You will fall into some kind of sins." And he was so much concerned for the church. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse number 9. "You yourself taught by God the power of God." That means he knew that the life changing happened because of the power of God, and that's the word of God. That's the power of God and taught from the word of God. Chapter 5, verse 11. "Encourage one another, build up one another," which they're already doing. I mean, it's a Christian testimony because we see them, they are not discouraged by each other. They were encouraging each other. They were building up each other. They want to be a blessing to the world, a blessing to the community, blessing to the place where God put them in. This is the impact that they had. A tiny little congregation had a greater impact in that community. Not only in that community, but it's far. It's went way beyond their community. That's in Macedonia and Achaia. Here, we see this. There are churches missing the point, but this is the church. A lot to praise God. A lot to thinking and thanking God in their lives. What they have, let us, as we look into the verses, we will see. I have like 10 points. As I said, it's not going to take too long. And not going to take a 1 hour message, but it's really, I just want you to pay attention what kind of people they were and what impact they had in the community or the gospel, with the gospel, and in many places. The first thing, works of faith. Verse number 3, we see, "We give thanks to God always for all of you." We know that. And every time Paul writes to churches, his first thing is addressing God, thanking God, praising God. It's coming from his joyful heart. And he's saying, "Making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in our mind your work of faith." They had a faith that works. That means they're genuinely saved by God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, enabling them to do or live in the works. Here we see that they have been saved by the God's grace, and they were genuinely saved, and it is shown in this work. We know that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, we have been saved by grace and faith alone. Here we see that when the word of God comes to us, when the word of God reaches to people, that change the lives, and that's because of his word and his grace. In James chapter 2 verse 17, we says that thus we also faith itself, it doesn't have work, is dead. We need to say that here, if you have a faith and doesn't show in work, that's not going to make any sense. If you have a faith that has to be seen in works, it's not something work, but first faith that has to be shown in the works. And James chapter 1 verse 20, we said that we are not only hearer of the God's word, but also doing or doers of the God's word. Here, we see that they have a faith that works. Second point, and verse number 3, a labor of love. This is like a working hard under the point of your exhausting. It's like a labor of love, putting yourself effort, expanding, yielding work done. That means that was motivated by God's love. We see this chapter 4 verse 9, the same thing, because our labor is not in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58, they have a love that laboring, they have a labor of love that impacted their community or their lives where they were. Point 3, the steadfastness of hope. That means they have an endurance or constant hope, constant belief. A hope that endures and preserves, pressing towards the goal. Here we see the word that is making a clear picture of remaining under pressure, or even if you are under pressure, you remain faithfully. That means they remain faithfully even in a severe trouble and tribulations. We struggle in life, but His grace always sustains us. We struggle in our life, His grace always directs our path. We may go through a turmoil. We may go through many kind of things in the world, the challenges we face every day, but God, the Holy Spirit, from His word, He directs our path. He gives the right wisdom to go and make decisions. And the fourth point is, they had a faithful preachers. Here, I really want to thank God. They did not come to the church or come to the places like a Thessalonica with some kind of expectations. When we see the background in Thessalonica, about Thessalonica, the people who were believers were accused of their belief because, you know, they came over and talking to them, you know, you guys, you just left the idols, you just left the world, and you just believed this man named called Paul, and wanted to get together and wanted to have something like a different community. All of a sudden, he left you alone. And you have no leaders. I mean, they were mocked, they were disgraced, they were much downlooked. But we see that Paul sent Timothy and Silvanus to take care of this church or preach in the church. They were doing everything. I mean, the preachers, they had a faithful preachers that was sent or encouraged or sent by Paul, and they came over, Paul and Silvanus, with a gospel, with encouraging words, and they started talking to them. They started just encouraging them. And asking them to stay faithful in the Lord. It's all from the power of God. It's always the power of God that changes people's heart and lives. Paul was emphasizing here a message rather than the messenger. He was emphasizing the message. The message, the ultimate message, ultimate encouragement comes from the Lord, not from anybody else. Preacher may preach, right? Preacher may exalt, preacher may explain, but the ultimate work, the ultimate encouragement and the blessing comes from His word. Because if God, if men are eloquent or smart enough to change the people, that's not going to last long. When the word of God changes people, that will last long. And that will bless their lives. The same thing happened in one of our churches. We preach Christ, we preach Bible, we teach Bible, we tell about everything from God's word. And God, according to His sovereign will, in His providence, God brought them into the saving knowledge of Christ. And when we face the problems in that village, I was talking to 9 o'clock service, maybe Sunday school. Right. I was talking about this, and I just want to tell up this story. Those who are not here. We had only few people. One whole village came and opposed us, wanted to just leave and stop the gospel work or prayer meeting. And we were so disappointed, as humanly speaking. But we know that God was at work. And God encouraged our people to stay closer to Him, to stay faithful in His word. And due time, within 6 months, all issues settled and became a good congregation and good church. And good, I'm not saying the big church, but it's a small congregation, but it became a light in that society, in that community. And I see, when I think about His faithfulness in our lives, there's one story comes to my mind. Henry Martin, a missionary to India in 1812. He was from London, England. God burdened his heart for the missions. And he was in mid-20s and late-20s. And he left to India all by himself. He landed there. He preached God's word. He stayed faithful. He impacted many lives. And he was traveling to little north. And there was a desert. He was caught by that king and persecuted him. And he put his two legs to the horse, was dragged in the desert until his body was made into small pieces. He died at the age of 32. You know what he did? He gave a great gift to India. He translated his New Testament in Hindustani and Persian languages. You know, person may pass away, but God's word will continue, because this is the power of God. Amen. That changed many lives. Even today in Calcutta, there is a church named after him, Henry Martin Church. He was faithful. He was a faithful preacher. Fifth point, they have received the God's word in tribulation. Verse number 6, we see that. You also became imitators of us and all of the Lord, having received the word of God in much tribulation with the joy and of the Holy Spirit. They have received the gospel even in that much tribulation. We see that, as I just told about the story about Thessalonica. They were left alone. A small, little, brand new believers had no clue. For 3 weeks, they became Christians in 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, they were dropped in the middle of the desert. No hope. They cannot go back and worship the idols. They cannot continue, and there were no leaders to continue as Christians. But they stayed faithful. That has impacted many believers and many people, even in that community and beyond their limits. And I see this, the same thing in our churches. The churches we are planting, the churches we are working in. We see this most of the time in India. All the time tribulations. All the time somebody will come and make a noise and threaten the believers and ask them to leave or stop doing the work they do. Go to the church. You know, they stop. They will ask people to stop going to church. Because most of the people are very poor. They live on some, you call it your social security, right? So some government benefits, and they will come and threaten. If you are going to go to church, you're going to lose this. And that's really hard on them. It's kind of a tribulation. It's kind of a very hard times, but they stayed faithful when we think about the believers in Thessalonica. Sixth point, they have had an exemplary life. Verse number 7, we see that. So that you became example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Their lives been changed and became impact or exemplary life to the people, those who are around them. Their behavior was so example. May I tell you one thing here? Their belief matched how they behave. Right? They believe and they behave well to imitators of as an example of life, to be imitators of life. May I tell you one thing here, one more thing. Their life was like a sounding board, you know? The life was just a sounding board. Sounding board doesn't have a life in itself. Sounding board doesn't have a words in itself. But sounding board will take the words, amplify it, or magnify it, and bring forth with an audible voice. Their lives were just like that. They heard the gospel, they received the gospel, they have been strengthened by the gospel, they have been encouraged by the gospel. Now their time for them to speak about Christ. Speak the gospel. You know, you know, church was formed, our church was found, our believers, you know, the people became believers when gospel came in. Okay? We are the result of his gospel. Now, thinking about these people, their lives, they are proclaiming the gospel in somewhere. They were saved by gospel. Now they are passing that to some other places. That's church. That is his people's work. That is the tiny, small, little church had a greater impact in Macedonia and Achaia. We see that everywhere they go, everywhere they live in. You know, one way or other way, we can be a good Christian believers to impact other lives. Doesn't need to be always holding a mic and speaking. Doesn't need to be traveling like me, you know. Doesn't need to be a greater talented person. You know, wherever you go, wherever you, God put you in, if you are faithful, carrying his gospel, that will impact other people. When you open your mouth to talk about him, that will bring glory and honor to the God's name. That's what my mission is. Proclaim and present. Proclaim God's word and present fully matured in Christ. That's what they're doing. You know, sometimes, I'm sorry, you are very good people. Sometimes people are, I think everybody's sinner. Do you agree with me, right? And we have issues in our life. We struggle with all kind of issues and we just prone to wonder. I like the word. When we pray to God, okay, let me tell this way. When we pray to God, we really pray, Lord, you are alive and you are watching. And you are paying attention to every comma and period in my prayer. When we pray that he is alive. Sometimes when we do the things, we see God as a dead, not looking at us. When we pray, God is alive. But we sin or disobey. We just don't regard he is alive, he is watching. We just think that he is dead, watching no more. That's not exemplary life. And the people here, they were like models. They were like a pattern in their lives. I try to tell my people, you know, obey, obey, obey. That's where everything begins, right? Trusting the Lord or obeying the Lord. Faithfulness, fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I mean, if you fear, you will You will get God's wisdom. When you are wise, you will live accordingly. And that's where everything starts, right? That's where everything starts. 7. They have witnessed. They witnessed that was so strong. Verse number 8 and 9. I'm just going faster, please. Please bear with me and follow me. For the not only the Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything, for they have themselves report about us that what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from the idols to serve living and true God. They receive the gospel and they pass the gospel. They turn their lives, they turn from idols to God. I mean, it's like I don't know how it's how you understand this word, but they were the people just left everything behind. It is really so much hard sometimes in India, in our culture. If you turn to God, you're going to just lose everything. I mean, all the relatives, all the people, everybody's going to turn against you. They did not even think about that. They did not even care about it because they believed that they had a real God. They believed a comforting God in their lives. And they have submitted their lives to God from idols. You know, there are times, sometimes, we don't make, it's a matter of priority, right? It's a priority as a Christians, what we put first. We should think about it. What we should first. You know, I'm not going to do anything, but if you're going for practicing with the guns on Sunday, I don't think that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea, right? I mean, I see people who are going to church, they want to just catch up with their shooting on Sunday. Come on. That's not a Christian life, right? I mean, I like the guns. I never owned the guns, but when I came to US, I was so fascinated to touch the guns. I mean, just touch it and hold it and pull the trigger. That's so fun, but it's not unfair. But that's not your priority on Sunday. That's not a priority in your life. We trust in God, not AK or AR-15. You may think, how you know these all names? Yes, I learned. The last point I want to tell this before my time is up. Looking for Christ's return. Verse number 10, we see that. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom you raised from the dead, that Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. They were looking to Jesus, who is the author and a finisher of faith. They turned to God from the idols. Now they are waiting upon the Lord to come back. This is the every Christian's ultimate purpose, that we wait upon the Lord. We are waiting for the glorious day. We are waiting for Christ to return so that we will be with him in heaven forever. That's our blessed hope. That ought to be right in front of our eyes every day and every night. You know, this is the qualities made Thessalonians church to impact the world. With the gospel, with their testimony, with their lifestyle, with everything that they had, that they have been blessed by God. You know, now it is our turn and our privilege to be a witness, to be a faithful, exemplary Christians for His glory. Let us take as a responsibility to live for Him and proclaim Him. May the Lord bless us. Thank you.